Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Chapter 31. Narada instructs the Prachetas. Text 21.
Na
Bhajati
Kumanichinam
Sa Ichyam Harir Adanatma
Dana
Priya
Rasa
Kinchaneshu Satsu Abhajati Kumani Chinam Saichyam Harir Adanatma Danapriya Rasagya
Harir Adanatma Danapriya Rasagya
Sutadana Kula Karma Namadarye
Sutadana Kula Karma Namadarye
Vidadhati Papa Makinchaneshu Satsu
Vidadhati Papa Makinchaneshu Satsu
Abhajati Kumani Chinam Sahityam
Abhajati Kumani Chinam Sahityam
Harir Adanatma Dana Priya Rasagya
Harir Adanatma Dana Priya Rasagya
Shrutadana Kula Karma Namadarye
Shrutadana Kula Karma Namadarye
Vidadati Papa Makinchaneshu Satsu
Vidadati Papa Makinchaneshu Satsu
Abhajati Kumani Shinam Sityam
Abhajati Kumani Shinam Sityam
Harir Adanatma Dana Priyora Sagya
Harir Adanatma Dana Priyora Sagya
Chutadana Kula Karma Namadarye
Chutadana Kula Karma Namadarye
Vidhadati Papa Makinchaneshu Satsu
Vidhadati Papa Makinchaneshu Satsu
Abhajati Kumani Chinam Sahityam
Never. Vajati. Except. Kumanishinam. Of persons with a dirty heart. Sahi. Ityam.
Offering.
Hari. The Supreme Lord.
Adana.
To those who have no material possessions. Atmadana. Simply dependent on the Lord. Priya. Who is dear. Rasagya. Who accepts the essence of life. Shruta.
Education.
Dana.
Wealth.
Kula.
Aristocracy.
Karmanam. And the fruit of activity.
Madai.
By pride.
Yay.
All those who. Vidadhati perform. Papam disgrace. Akinchaneshu without material possession. Satsu unto the devotee. Unto the devotees. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions, but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activity are very proud of possessing material things, and they often deride the devotees. Even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. Purported by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is dependent on his pure devotees. He does not even accept the offerings of those who are not devotees. A pure devotee is one who feels he does not possess anything material. A devotee is always happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Devotees may sometimes appear materially poor, but because they are spiritually advanced and enriched, they are most dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such devotees are free from attachment to family, society, friendship, children, and so on. They abandon affection for all these material possessions and are always happy in possessing the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead understands the position of his devotee. If a person derides a pure devotee, he is never recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the Supreme Lord never excuses one who offends a pure devotee. There are many examples of this in history. A great mystic yogi, Devasa Muni, offended the great devotee, Ambarish Maharaj. The great sage, Devasa, was to be chastised by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. Even though the great mystic directly approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was never excused. Those on the path of liberation should be very careful not to offend a pure devotee. Nabhajati kumani shinamsa ijyam harira adanatma janapriyo rasajya shrutadana kula kama namada ye vidadati papam akinchaneshu satsu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions, but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activity are very proud of possessing material things, and they often deride the devotees. Even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. Om Jnanatam Randasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vainamaha Shri Chitani Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vanchakapa Tarubhya Shakripa Sindhubhya Vacha Paritanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhanityananda Shri Advaiti Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Narada Muni is continuing his glorification of the process of devotional service and of the devotees. And his very intimate descriptions of the consciousness, attitudes, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. a devotee is a kinchana. A kinchana means no material possessions, completely materially detached, and totally unconcerned with anything on the material platform, but rather simply happy, fully satisfied to have the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then such a devotee the Lord adopts as his own. The Lord accepts as his own. And the Lord is so appreciative of such a devotee. Therefore it's said that austerity is the wealth of the Brahmins. Brahmins, of course, means, in this context particularly, the devotees. For the devotees, austerity is their wealth. And normally, of course, people would think that austerity is quite the opposite of wealth. Austerity would mean the absence of wealth. But not in this case. Austerity is the wealth of the Brahmins, of the devotees. Because when the devotees are completely free from any affiliation with the material nature, and they're simply absorbed in devotional service to Krishna, they have no desire other than to please Krishna. And they're not accumulating anything, not acquiring anything for their personal sense gratification, simply dedicated to the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, then Krishna becomes the property of such a devotee. Queen Kunti explains this in the 8th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the famous prayers of Queen Kunti, that such an elevated devotee, such a pure devotee, is called Akinchana Vitaya. Akinchana Vitaya. That the Lord becomes the property of his unalloyed devotees. Those devotees have no interest in anything material. They're simply interested in devotional service. The Lord becomes the property. The Lord, in this context, Akinchana Vitaya means the Lord becomes the property of the materially impoverished. Of course, this does not mean that any poor person, that the Lord has become their property or is going to become their property. But in the case of the devotees who are Akinchana, like this, these Brahmins, these devotees who have that consciousness and have that way of life, then the Lord becomes their property. And when the Lord has become your property, then you don't need anything else. Even if you got everything else, it would be insignificant compared to having the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, there's very wonderful interrelationship between the Lord and his pure devotees. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes reference to one incident which is recorded in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how Devasa Muni tried to harass Ambarish Maharaj, who was a very great devotee, and how Devasa Muni became attacked by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord, which would not leave him even when he tried to take shelter of the Lord. So there, in that part of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Devasa Muni approaches the Supreme Lord and appeals to him, begs him, please my Lord, this chakra is yours. This is your chakra. This chakra is threatening me. This chakra is yours, and if anyone can withdraw this chakra, it's you. So please, be merciful. Please be kind. I surrender at your lotus feet. Please be merciful to me and withdraw your chakra. So, Lord Narayan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he told Devasa Muni that, I'm very sorry. I cannot help you. Yes, he couldn't help Devasa. Means that because Lord Narayana is so attached to Ambarish Maharaj, who's a great devotee, then when Maharaj Ambarish was offended like that, then the Lord felt no option. He had to retaliate. He had to take action to protect his devotee. It was not a matter of should I, perhaps I should. Should I, maybe not. No doubt. In fact, even beyond no doubt, it was practically automatic. That he felt totally obliged. He had to. He did. He did, without considering anything else. The Lord released his Sudarshan Chakra. And then when Devasa Muni approached him to withdraw it, then because of that bond of affection with Maharaj Ambarish, so the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself felt unable to withdraw it. As he was unable to stop himself from releasing it, he felt unable to withdraw it when approached by Devasa Muni. Because of that relationship. The relationship is like that. So deep, so intimate, and so strongly bound by unbreakable ropes of affection. So when Devasa Muni approached the Lord and was appealing to him, then the Lord very nicely explained why he couldn't do anything about that, even though it was his weapon. So he spoke a number of verses, and one verse is particularly much appreciated. They're all very, very nice. But one verse, there's one verse, Sadunam Ridayam Mayam, Sadunam, Sadavo Ridayam Mayam, Sadunam Ridayam Twaham, Mad Amyat Te Najanati, Naham Tebyo Managapi. So, Lord Narayan says there to Devasa Muni that the sadhus, the devotees, Hridayam Mayam, the devotees are within my heart. And Sadhunam Hridayam Twaham. And I am within the heart of my pure devotees. My devotees do not know anyone else but me. And I do not know anything else but them. This is a very wonderful verse. And it shows us so clearly how deep is the loving relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. He knows no one else but them. You may be a big, important person like Devasa Muni. He's an expansion of Lord Shiva. But he's an expansion of a particular aspect of Lord Shiva's nature, which isn't so auspicious, not entirely auspicious. Not that part of Lord Shiva's nature, which is the devotee, but some other part, which has had contact with the material nature. So Devasa Muni, he's a big sadhu, or big mystic. And very prominent person within the universe, highly respected. But he's not exactly a pure devotee of the Lord. He's in some unusual position, somewhat mixed position. So, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he says, that I do not know anyone but my devotees. So when Devasa Muni approached him, he was not particularly impressed. He did not feel particularly obliged that here I must do something. But because he's completely bonded with his devotees so strongly, unbreakably, and he knows nobody else but them, then there was no question. He couldn't withdraw his chakra until Ambarish Maharaj himself had approved that. Or that offense on the part of Devasa Muni had been forgiven by Maharaj Chandrareek. So this is the situation, that if a devotee cultivates Krishna consciousness in that way, pure devotional service, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes a property of such a devotee. Akinchana Vitaya. He's the property of those devotees who have no other property. They possess nothing else. In that 8th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers of Queen Kunti, Queen Kunti expresses very, very similar point to the point made here. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir Edamana Madapuman Naivarhat Yabidatam Vai Twam Akinchana Gocharam. He says, my lord, she says, my lord, you can be easily approached by the Akinchana, by those who have no attachment for any material possessions. But those who are attached, Janma, Aishvarya, Shruta, Shri, that those people who are attached to their birth, their wealth, their material education, their bodily beauty, then they cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Queen Kunti expresses it in that way. And that is very nice understanding, that our business in this Kali Yuga, particularly, is to call out to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Call out his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But Srila Prabhupada makes the point in talking about the Hare Krishna mantra, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, that one has to chant just like the genuine cry of the child for the mother. On Sunday, we had a very interesting demonstration of that. I don't think you were there. But a very, very interesting demonstration of that. Right in the middle of our Sunday program, in the middle of the temple room in our Lanesha temple, that there was one drama, and there was one actor, Dr. Chaitan. And according to the drama, at a certain point in the course of the Sunday afternoon class, he was to start falling asleep in a prominent way. And even lie down, actually. Right next to the speaker. So he was nodding, apparently dropping off, because it was just part of the drama, as the speaker, who happened to be myself, was just carrying on giving some sort of class. And at one point, it was all planned, but we said, oh, Chaitan, please, don't sleep like that. So Chaitan apparently tried to pull himself together, but then he was falling asleep again. Finally, he just lay down. He actually kind of collapsed on the person next to him and lay down eventually. And we were acting as if we didn't know quite what was happening. Then his mother, who was right at the other end of the temple room by Srila Prabhupada, and who didn't know what was happening, oh, in great anxiety, she came pushing through the crowd, calling out, Chaitan, and calling to me, that, oh, something's wrong with Chaitan, and picking him up. And he was acting, and he was saying, the idea was that he was sleeping, and it was, then an alarm clock went off. And that was, then he got up, it was meant to be a Mangalarati time, you see. So in the course of the play, he got up, and his mother was there, holding him and checking him, and saying, are you all right? He was saying, like, he didn't tell her that, look, it's a play. He said, Ma, it's 4 o'clock, Mangalarati. And the poor lady, she was just in great anxiety. So So there we saw a very nice demonstration in this vein, genuine cry of the child from the mother. The mother feels so strongly. If the child appears to be in need of her care and shelter, but otherwise he was there, she was at the other end of the temple room, and no particular interaction going on. So like that, if we're here in the material world, we're not particularly having anything to do with Krishna. So we're here, Krishna's there, and he allows us to carry on. He doesn't intervene. But if we call out to Krishna like that, from the heart, just like the genuine cry of the child for the mother, then where is the doubt? What is the doubt that Krishna will come running immediately to give shelter, to give all help to the sincere devotee? So in that particular verse there, Queen Kunti is saying, Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir Edamana Mada Puma, that those who are too attached to their birth, their wealth, their material education, their bodily beauty, any, some, or all of these things, they cannot call out with sincere feeling. They cannot do that. Because they do not feel, they do not see the necessity. Why? Because they have the shelter of their birth, their family, big famous family, wealthy family. They have a big bank balance themselves, like this. They have their degree from the university. Or they have very fit, strong, attractive body. And they're thinking, oh, why should I? I don't need to really call out to Krishna, because I can take shelter of my bank balance. If any problem arises, I just take out my bank balance and attack the problem with my bank balance. Beat the problem into submission. They're thinking like that. Yes, I just pull out my degree, my PhD, or whatever, and hit the problem on the head with my certificate, and goodbye problem. So these people, they cannot call out. Why? Because they see no need to call out. They feel they have shelter already from these various material things. But the devotee who is a Kinchana Gochara, a Kinchana Vitaya, Queen Kunti is making this point, that such a devotee, Krishna, is easily approached by those who are materially impoverished. Because when you're materially impoverished, then you see very vividly, oh, I need shelter. Yes, I am exposed here in the material world. And when you're exposed to the onslaught of material nature, so uncomfortable. So I need shelter, I must have shelter. So a devotee who understands like that, a devotee who's in that position, can take shelter of Krishna and call out to Krishna, just like the genuine cry of the child for the mother. And immediately Krishna will come. Immediately. And there's so many examples. The example is there of Queen Draupadi, when she was being undressed in public. The example is there. There are many examples of the Supreme Personality of Godhead intervening for his dependent devotees. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he relishes the devotional activities, the dependency, the mood of dependency of the devotee so much. Therefore, some devotees, they are actually maintaining this principle of remaining dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is another category of person though, who puffed up materially, and but they still have some knowledge about Krishna. Therefore, they may possibly offer something to Krishna. They may. But because they're materially puffed up, they don't have that mood of dependency. They're taking shelter of their material things. They're like Kanishta, at best Kanishta Adhikaris. When they look at the devotees who are materially impoverished and who are maintaining deliberately a very simple way of life, then these puffed up pseudo-devotees or partial devotees, they may think, oh, look at these devotees who have nothing, who come to me when they need something. Look at these devotees. What foolish people. So that person, if that person is some sort of borderline Kanishta Adhikari, they may sometimes render some service, make some offering to Krishna. But here, Narada Muni is saying that even if such people do offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts. He never accepts them. He never accepts their worship. He doesn't need it. The Lord is not accepting worship. The Lord is not accepting offerings because he wants those things. And we're not feeding the Lord because the Lord is hungry. We're feeding the Lord so that that food can become sanctified and we can take sanctified food. We are offering the Lord food so that can be like a medium for us to express some mood of service. Yes. Some mood of giving to the Lord. Like that. That is why we're offering food. We're not offering food because Krishna's hungry. And if we don't feed Krishna, then he'll be deprived. Not at all. It's for our sake. But the puffed up materialistic person does not really understand like that. Such a person may think that I should offer this food so that by offering it, he may have many motivations, but he may think that by offering it, I will get benefited. In other words, they're not really offering for the sake of Krishna. They're offering for their sake. But the devotee, actual devotee, offers to Krishna in the mood that I'm trying to give to you. I'm trying to surrender to you. I'm trying to please you in this way. Will you please accept my humble offering? So, this is the position here. This is the position. And if such persons, puffed-up persons, they think negatively about the sincere devotees, then they commit offense. They commit aparadha. It's a very serious situation, very dangerous situation. So that devotee, those puffed up people, they make the mistake of thinking that this devotee is so poor and useless, and I'm much better because I have so many material things. But they don't know that by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the Supreme Person, Supreme Lord, owns everything, if he feels he wants to, he may give that devotee anything. Some small thing, some big thing. He may do that. We saw in the case of Srila Prabhupada that he was maintaining very simple existence on his own behalf. But Krishna provided so many things. Big properties, lot of money, so many followers, so many desirable, materially desirable things coming from Krishna. Or similarly, Sudama Brahman, famous story is there. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he actually came to visit Krishna in Dwaraka specifically to request wealth, money. because his wife was complaining that their lifestyle was too austere, was intolerable. Very austere. So she told him that you should go approach your old school friend Krishna. You were in school together. Go and approach him. He'll surely give you something. At least so we can live some sort of least reasonable type of existence. So Sudama went and met with Krishna, and immediately their long-standing loving relationship manifested, and they were simply enjoying each other's company. The next day Sudama went home, and he was almost home, and he remembered, oh, I became so absorbed in relating with Krishna, I forgot to ask him for money. Oh no, my wife will be upset, and so on and so forth. Then he thought, actually, I'm glad I forgot to ask Krishna. So if I had asked Krishna, he maybe would have given me something. But then I would have probably just gotten to Maya, thinking, now I'm a big rich man that I can enjoy. So I'm glad Krishna didn't give me anything. So I went back and he was thinking like this. Then he got near to the house, almost there, and he noticed that the area of his house had changed. In fact, his house was gone. In its place was a big palace. And he thought, oh, must have taken a wrong turning somewhere. I got lost. I'm at the wrong place. Then he looked around and he thought, no, actually, I think this is the right place. Then he saw coming out of the palace was his wife, very nicely dressed in very opulent clothes, and many servants were there. They recognized, oh, this is my wife. Must be. Krishna decided, he knew my heart, so he decided to give me this. This is a very famous story, Sudama, that Krishna, he can give to such a devotee, he can give anything, he can give everything to the devotee who doesn't want anything. Yeah. He may not. To the devotee it makes no difference. If Krishna gives the devotee nothing, then the devotee is happy to serve Krishna just in the most humble and simple way. He'll be delighted. So happy. But if the Lord gives him something, or many things, or even everything, the devotee is also very happy. Now I'll serve Krishna. Krishna has given me this opportunity to serve him very nicely, so I'll do that. And the devotee never becomes attached that, oh, now Krishna has given me so many material things, thank you very much, Krishna, now I'll enjoy. Not at all. So we should try and remember like that. And if we try and act like that, we'll see. Krishna will be very kind. Krishna will help us in so many ways. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Maybe. Prabhupada told us, yeah, and our older devotees can help us in terms of details. The basic programs are given by Srila Prabhupada. Distribute books, have nice centers so people can come and they'll feel that this is a nice place to come to, like that, and reasonable facilities. The Prabhupada showed that. And if there's any doubt in terms of specific details, then the older devotees are there to give guidance sort of on the spot more. And it may be true in certain situations, it may well be the fact that we should not get involved in a certain thing, certain type of activity, or pursuing certain material facilities. It may well be a fact in some cases. that the devotees, if some devotees don't know, they think maybe we should, but it's not clear to them. But then the older devotees can help, because Prabhupada's given the basic principle. Akyahara prayashas cha. Yeah. We shouldn't over-endeavor for things, material things, which are too difficult really to achieve. Doesn't mean we shouldn't work hard and get different things, but we shouldn't over-endeavor to get certain things which are not really required. The offering because it was broken rice. It means it was junk rice. Yeah. Broken rice means rejected. Type of rice. Anyway, yeah. Anyone who knows rice knows that broken rice is rejected rice. It won't be accepted by anyone other than people who are in famine conditions. So she didn't like that, but there was also some, you know, different feelings. Lakshmi has an idea that the Brahmins should be kept in a poor condition. Yes. So Lakshmi was thinking that if Krishna takes more of this, then this is going to kind of interfere with my idea that the Brahmins should be kept poor. Because, you know, Sudama will get so much mercy. He'll get too much mercy. So yeah, Lakshmi, it's one of her ideas that the Brahmins should be kept poor. So she didn't want Sudama to get too much mercy. Yeah. Some transcendental rival of yours. Talking about? Jayananda himself, at the same situation where the devotees in Edinburgh and Scotland were doing Harinam every day. But one city councillor, who was also maybe a born-again Christian, but whatever he was just very hateful and offensive towards the devotees. Councillor Kidd was his name. So he was trying to do all this propaganda to stop the devotees chanting. And even in the city council, he was trying to get some like local bylaw passed or something, that Hare Krishnas can't chant, something like that. So, while this was going on, before they actually passed the law, but he was in the process of trying to push it through, Councillor Kidd had a heart attack and died. And the law was never done. Yeah. So these things happen. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.